Sri Vishnu Sahasranam, name 385, Guha. Among followers of Vedic culture, the name Guha is famous as an associate of Lord Rama, who was a jungle king who assisted Lord Rama in the forest. However, Guha is originally a name of Lord Vishnu. Here we have in Vishnu Sahasranam. Parashara Bhatta explains this to mean he who protects, the protector. This understanding is covered in several other names, particularly Rakshana. The name Rakshana will come up in the later portion, toward the end of Vishnu Sahasranam. Shankaracharya explains the name Guha to mean one who hides himself. Similar to the previous name, Gahana. Gahana means very deep, inscrutable, difficult to understand. So Krishna, although he is Lord of all, he's everywhere, outside everything, inside everything, the mightiest of the mighty, he hides himself. Why is that? We can get a clue from Krishna's statement in Bhagavad Gita, Yayata mang prapadyante tang sthathaiva bhajami aham. I reciprocate, Krishna says. As people approach me, I reciprocate with them. So he doesn't hide himself from devotees. He might do, he's the independent Lord. But specifically, he doesn't make himself available to non-devotees, or they don't even see him or believe in his existence. In this regard, Shankaracharya quotes from Bhagavad Gita, Nahang prakasha sarvasya yogamaya samavritaha mudho yang na bhijanati loko mam ajamavyayam. Krishna says, I am never manifest to the fools. They don't know me. Persons who think that I, who am unborn and never die, they think about, well, they don't think about me. He doesn't allow them to think about him. He covers their knowledge fully by his maya, yoga maya potency. We can also consider another Gita statement, avajananti mang murha manushing tanam ashritam param bhavam ajananto mama bhuta maheshwaram. Again, Krishna uses the term murha, fool. Just means a fool. This is a little different to the statement previously, different kind of murha, because the previous kind of murha doesn't know Krishna at all. But this kind sees him, but they take him to be an ordinary man, not understanding his superior position, and that he is the Supreme Lord of everything and all living beings. Another angle given by Sri R. Ananta Krishna Shastri is he who dwells in the cave of the heart. As stated in Bhagavad Gita by Lord Krishna, there is a space in the heart which is the location of the Atma. Aham Atma Gura Kesha Sarva Bhuta Shaya Stitaha. Krishna, when describing his vibhutis, how he is manifest in various ways within this material world, says that he is the Atma. This refers both to the individual Jivatma, but particularly to the Paramatma, who is situated in the heart of every living being. Repeatedly within the Upanishads, the term Guha indicates the region within the heart wherein dwells the Atma. A common term is Nihitam Guhayam, placed in or situated in the recesses of the heart. That comes in Kathopanishad, Mundakopanishad, twice, this term, Nihitam Guhayam. Now you may say, well, where is that? Let's open someone's heart and have a look and see. You won't see it. This space in the heart, which is repeatedly referred to in the Upanishads, is very subtle and can't be seen by material vision, even if you have the most powerful microscope. It is the point of interface of the fully spiritual entity, the soul, with the subtle material body, and then the subtle material body affects the activities of the gross material body. In the Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 5, Text 6, is stated, Yata puna sveka idang nivesha shete guhayam sa nivritta vrittihi. Without any endeavor, the Supreme Lord lies down on his own heart, spread in the form of the sky. The sky, it's referred to as Hridakash, the sky within the heart, and the Supreme Lord lies down there. Once Srila Prabhupada was asked, is the Supreme Lord, Paramatma, within the heart, standing or sitting, or what's he doing? Srila Prabhupada, so, as we've heard it, he closed his eyes and said, oh, he's standing. So he may stand, he may sit. Generally, he is understood to be lying down on the bed of Ananta, tended at his feet by Mahalakshmi. In Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Narada addresses Krishna as Gurho Guhashaya. This hidden, Gurha, means hidden, Guhashaya, lying in the sky of the heart or the inner recesses of the heart, Guha. It also means, Guha also means cave. So the sometimes referred to as the cave of the heart. So this again refers to Krishna's Paramatma feature. Brahma Sutra refers to Guham Pravishtav Atmano. Two Atmas have entered the cave of the heart. That means Paramatma, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the Jiva. Generally, the Supreme Lord is there in his four-handed feature, Paramatma, within the heart. It's not that there are many Paramatmas. He is avibhaktam chabhuteshu vibhaktam ivachastitaha. He is one, but he is situated as if many. It's the same one Supreme Lord, but he's situated in many forms. Srila Prabhupada explains it's just something like the sun is one sun situated in one place, but is reflected in innumerable bodies of water, maybe pieces of glass on the earth. Something like that. The Supreme Lord is there in everyone's heart. Ishvara sarva bhutanam hridesh arjuna tishtati. Brahmayan sarva bhutani yantrari rudhani mayaya. The living beings are on as if a machine, their body, and the Supreme Lord accompanies them as they go from body to body within material existence. Specifically stated, within the region of the heart. Now, that Supreme Lord is Paramatma, four-handed, neutral form, we can say. But then he reciprocates with devotees who start to wake up to the fact that he's there, or who are awake to the fact that he's there. And then he manifests to them in the specific form that they like to worship him in. Therefore, we pray, Bahe Nrsimho Hridaye Nrsimha. Nrsimhadev is outside, he's within the heart. Rupa Goswami has given the benediction, and Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has iterated that benediction, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu may appear within your heart. Anarpita chirin chirad karunya vratirno kalau samarpayitum anatoj valarasang svabhakti shriyam harif purata sundara dyuti kadamba sandipita sada hridaya kandare spuratu va shachinandanaha. This term hridaya kandare, kandara means a cave, a mountain cave. So hridaya kandara, it means the same as the guha, the hridakash, the spiritual space within the heart. So this prayer is that may Lord Hari, the son of Sachi, enter into our heart and drive away all the rascal nonsense that may be within our heart. That's not stated, but the idea is there. Just like a lion enters a cave and all other living beings who might be taking shelter there that could be obstacles to, or food for that lion, or anyone who wanted to take advantage of that situation with the cave, cannot take advantage of the situation with the cave if a lion enters it. So in the same way, all the nasty things in the heart, they run away when Hari, Hari means the Supreme Lord, it also means a lion. So the son of Sachi, lion-like, whose effulgence is like molten, purified gold, has appeared in this age of Kali out of his mercy to distribute the beauty, the wealth, the opulence of devotion to himself that is enriched with the dazzling sweetness of rasa, which was never previously distributed by any avatar in any of the ages. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Navadvip Bhava Taranga says, in Navadvip, Lord Krishna takes into his heart Sri Radha, who is graceful as a regal elephant and happily pleases her there. Baladev Vidyabhushan gives a different meaning to the name Guha. Well, similar, he who hides, but he specifically says that this refers to Krishna hiding his opulence, his majesty, his greatness, his power when he's in association of the inhabitants of Vrindavan. They kind of understand his greatness, but he covers it over with a great flow of sweetness, madhurya, because he is desirous to enjoy rasa in his Vrindavan pastimes. Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindhubhyareva cha patitanam pavana.